Very warm welcome to you, and especially if you're visiting us this morning. Hope you enjoy. Hope you've had a good new year so far. 10 days in. Goes quick, doesn't it? I feel like we should be in 2017 by now. But no, 2016, it's an Olympic year. Very excited. Also, the Euro qualifier. It's a lot of sport this year. But what I love about the Olympics is not only do you get into sports that you've never really heard of before, but if Britain are in with a chance of a medal, suddenly, you know, archery is your new favourite sport. But I love it when they break a world record. I love that moment. And especially with like the sprinters recently, and like Usain Bolt and the Jamaicans. And in the 2012 Olympics, they broke the world record again, the relay team. And it was the third time in a row that they'd broken it. And every time they break it, you think, oh my word, like, that's so fast. Like, no one's ever going to break that. And then someone comes along the next year and breaks it again. And it's amazing. And I love in tennis as well. Every year I like to watch Wimbledon. And now every year, they just seem to get better and better and better. And you watch the final, and the tennis they play is just unbelievable. It's like perfect. Like, they're not making any mistakes. And you're like, oh, I think this is the best. You must be the best player I've ever seen. And then they come back the next year, and they up their level again, and it's just unbelievable. So at some point, there must be a point where they can't get any better, but I haven't seen it yet. But I love it when, you know, when you think you've like reached the peak of something, but then you realize someone comes along and they push it out a little bit further again. Or just before Christmas, my grandparents came over, my parents' house, and I was there, and we had a meal together. And my grandfather was talking about how they've been married for 60 years, and he was saying that after 60 years that he appreciates my grandmother more today than ever before. And I thought that was amazing how there's something that grows like over time. And sometimes when we think we may have like reached the most of something, that there's often more, there's more to come and there's more to go. And it's amazing how there's, you know, there's more and we can go further. And this is something I think like God does in our lives as well. He always has more because he's a generous God and he loves to work in our lives and take us further than we ever may have imagined. And Paul wrote this in Ephesians. He said, all glory to God who is able through his mighty work at through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And before the new year in December, Julian had a word for the church for the new year. And normally he would share it on the first Sunday back in the new year, but obviously he's in America and they didn't want to do it via Skype because they didn't know if it would work. So he shared it in December. But we're going to look at that again today. And Julian, he was praying and asking God, God, what do you want to say to us as a church in 2016? And he saw a picture of a high-rise building being built. And there was cranes and people working on it. And he could see that the ceiling of the building wasn't the ceiling, but it was just the floor to the next level. And that the building was going higher to a next level. And he believed that God was saying that he is taking us as a church on an intensive building process. And he's taking us to the next level. It's like when that world record's been set and you think, gosh, how's, you know, that ceiling's been put there, and then someone comes along and they smash it again and they take it further. And that God wants to take us further, and there's more to come from God for us as a church. And it's a promise from God that it's something that's within reach for us. It's not a ceiling, but it's something achievable. It's something that God wants to do. And God wouldn't give this promise if it was something out of reach. And so it's something we can look forward to and that we can embrace and that we can really go for together. His purpose with us, his journey for us, isn't yet finished, but there's more that God wants to do, and there's more that he is going to do. But why would God want to do that? Why would God say to us that he wants to take us to a higher level and that there's more for us as a church? What does that mean, and why would he say it? Well, one thing that really spoke to me over Christmas, over the 2 weeks, I was reading Luke's gospel. Luke's account of Jesus' life, where Luke was like a historian and a doctor, and he recorded different eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life and put them together. And I was reading his account of Jesus' life. And in chapter 14 of Luke's gospel, he records a time when Jesus was at the house of some of the religious leaders, some of the Pharisees. They'd invited him for a meal. And they'd invited him to kind of test Jesus, to try and suss him out, to work out, you know, who was this man, what was he about. And as we know, they went on to reject Jesus and they handed him over to the Romans to be crucified. But whilst he was in the middle of this meeting, and this meal, Jesus gave them a story to illustrate what God is like and to show something of God's character. And he said, the kingdom of God is a bit like a man who threw a great feast, a master who threw a great feast. And he sent out many invitations to people. And then when the feast was ready, he sent his servant out to call those, all of those who'd received an invite, to tell them, the food is ready, come to the feast. And the servant went out and he began to invite, you know, followed up all those invitations. But everyone who'd been invited made an excuse. And everyone had an excuse and a reason not to come. And so the servant came back and he said to the master, I went to everyone, but, you know, everyone's come up with excuses. No one has decided to come. And when Jesus said that, he was referring to, you know, to those that he had spoken to, that had seen his miracles, the people that he was, who'd invited him for dinner that evening, that he was inviting, and who went on to reject him. But the master, after hearing that people had rejected his invitation, he turned to the servant and said, well, in that case, run into the streets and invite anyone you can find. Invite the poor, invite the lame, invite those who are blind, invite those who are in need. Invite them all so that someone can enjoy this feast. And so the servant ran out into the streets and he began to invite the people that he could see. And they all came in. And then the servant runs up to the man who's hosting the feast and he says, it says, after the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. There is still room for more. And so the master said, well, in that case, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. And when I read this, it just really struck me about the heart that Jesus has, about how he's so passionate for people, that he loves people so much, and that he is longing for people to come and experience the great blessing, the great joy, the great love that he has for their lives. And he would say to us, there's still room for more. Well, there's still room for more. Well, then go out and urge everyone you can find so that everyone can come in. God longs for everyone to experience his love. He longs for everyone to know his goodness in their lives. And God loves people so much that he even came to earth himself as a man in Jesus. And Jesus came and he showed us that God wasn't far away, but that he is close and that he cares for you and that every detail of your life is important to him. And he loves us so much that he would even go all the way and die on the cross. Because as Tammy was talking about in her kid spot, you know, none of us are perfect and God is perfect. And our imperfection can't mix with God's perfection. They can't go together. And that's a problem. But because God cares so much, he brought a solution to the problem. God's a solution-orientated God. I love solution-orientated people. You know, when someone comes to you with a problem, they say, but I got a solution. That's the best. I love that. God is solution-oriented, and he sent Jesus as a solution. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took on himself the sin of the world as a man, the sin that each one of us, you know, lives within us. He took it on himself. And so if we choose to follow Jesus, we can give that over to him. And that barrier that separates us from God was broken when Jesus died on the cross. But not only that, he came to life again 3 days later and he broke the power of death. So death doesn't have to be the end and death doesn't have to separate us from God. But Jesus is alive. He's alive today in heaven. And we can follow that pathway as well, and we can go to heaven and be with Jesus when everything is restored also because of what he's done for us. And that is God's love for people that overflows from his heart. And he says there is still room for more. Well, then go out and urge everyone to come in. And this is God's heart, and this is God's heart for us as a church. He's saying there's still room for more. There's more to do because I love people and I want to show people how much I love them. I have a purpose in this world and I have a purpose for us as a church to bring all that God has into our community and our city, into our friends, into our family. And so God's purpose for us isn't yet finished. There's still more room. And it's great to look back on what God has done with us already as a church to inspire us for the future. I love that at the end of a year when you kind of look back on the things that have gone already to inspire you for what's next. And I was thinking about how, you know, 24 years ago, the church started just a handful of people, seven people in this small, in a front room in this house in Treboth on Llangefelach Road. And that's where it started. And then I remember when we used to meet in Penland Community Centre and Minnithbach Centre for Girls, and I was just a little kid at the time, and it was one room, and there was a little cafe where there was maybe six of us who used to be in Sunday school when I was a kid. But then one week we came, and someone had smashed the glass through in the cafe. So now, there was no bar, it was all in one room. Sunday school and everything else was all in one room together, so we had to be very quiet then. That was fun. But the things that God has done, how over the years, you know, we've seen changed lives, the impact that he's made, the freedom that he brings to people, when people find purpose and potential when they meet with God. Things like the GAP project that ran, for 13 years and over 2,000 young people who were dropping out of school and getting in trouble with the police or with drugs or other things were helped to find further education and employment. And all the things that go on today with us as a church. It's been great this year having James and Jake on the internship, and they're doing a really good job in all the things they're getting involved in. They're like really serving hard, they're getting well, like proper stuck in. And you know, just this year, Steph, you know, bumped into Jake at university. It was around April time, and there was an Alpha course going on. Hadn't seen each other for a couple of years. They used to be in the rowing team together, and they just got chatting. Steph said, "Oh, well, why don't you come? You know, I'm going to an Alpha course, you know, do you want to come with me?" And Jake said yes. What Steph didn't know was that Jake had been asking questions about life and reading philosophy books for, you know, a few months before this. Comes along to Alpha, gets to ask those questions, gets to explore and finds the plan and the purpose that God has for his life. And God is doing things, you know, we've got loads of stories like that in this past year and throughout the years of what God is doing. And we can all see and recognize changed lives in our own lives and in the lives of people around us and the things that God is doing with us as a church. And it's great to celebrate those things, isn't it? And to allow them to inspire us for the future. And I remember about 11 or 12 years ago, I think it was 12 years ago, in the Penland building on a Sunday morning, and my dad was doing a talk. And he recapped the story of the church so far. So it must have been about 15 years or something of the church. And he recapped it from the beginning. And he began to share the vision for the church and what God longed to do with the church and what they were there for. And how he wanted to be a church that would impact our city and make a difference in our city. But not only that, but he felt God called us to be a church that would impact our nation and make a difference in the whole nation of Wales. And isn't it amazing how those things are starting to take place with what's going on with New Wine Cymru, New Wine Wales, and churches all over the nation coming here and being served and being equipped to bring what God has for the whole of Wales. And not only that, he said he felt like God had called us as a church to impact the world, to make a difference in the world. And isn't it amazing that that's what God is doing right now, like through us? It's amazing. And Adam was talking about those videos from Julie and Sarah. They're in Florida at the moment, and that they've been seeing many people healed, and we've seen loads of people healed here, and they've been praying for people out there, and they've seen people healed, and I got some of those videos off Facebook to show you. Would you like to see them? Yeah. There we are. So, you ready, Kieran? You ready, Si? Okay, here we go.
My name is Ron, and I'd like to just give you a real brief testimony. Back in 1968, when I was in Vietnam, I was wounded in the leg, and I was sent home, and for years I suffered. About 9 years ago, I decided to get a knee replacement, and for years, even after that, I was actually worse than it was before and suffered with pain. And last night in our church, Julian and Sarah from Cornerstone Church had come for a healing service. I stood up when they mentioned a right knee, was healed for, total healing, complete healing, pain-free, woke up this morning feeling great. No pain whatsoever in that knee. Thank you, Jesus, for he is the healer. Thank you.
That's good, isn't it? Here's another one.
Hi, my name is Penny. I had a 45 bullet. I was shot, went through my hand. I hadn't felt my hand, and it was a little bit out of shape for over 50 years. And tonight, I had healing that I can feel all my fingers on the inside and on the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amazing.
Last one.
Okay, hello, my name is João. Yesterday, I've been having pain for many years in my real back, in my lower back. A lot of pain. Every day in the morning, I wake up in the pain. And yesterday, I felt something amazing. And a heat came, and I'm fit. I don't have pain anymore. This morning, I wake up in the morning, And it was amazing because every morning I wake up with that pain, and this was the first morning they wake up and say, what's happened here? And the pain's gone. So I'm really happy for what God has done in my life.
They're great, aren't they? It's great to hear stories like that. And we've seen so many people healed here as well, haven't we? And if anyone has like a condition that's similar to that, it'd be great to pray for you after the talk today. And yesterday I was praying as well and asking God, is there any, you know, show me anyone, like any conditions that we can pray for tomorrow. And I also felt there might be people here with like struggling in their knee, especially the right knee, but if it's your left knee, pray for you as well. And like down the side with your ankle as well. So it'd be great to pray for you after the talk and see what God does, because we've seen so much. I was in Sweden last week and I was doing a talk there and two people got healed. And it was brilliant just to see what God does. Anyway, so it's exciting to look back and to allow it to inspire us for the future. And I remember when I listened to my dad giving this talk, I was 15 years old. I remember sitting there listening to it. I was in third row. And at that moment, it was like a significant moment in my life. And I remember hearing that and knowing in my heart that this is what I want to do with my life. I don't know what it looks like. I didn't think I'd necessarily be here in Swansea, I want God to do something in my life. I want to see God move and to see some of these things. And I just had this like dream that maybe God would do something in my life. And so I began to pray and ask God, you know, whilst I was in school, Lord, would you help me to do something in school? I'm going into year 11, my last year of school. Will you help me make the most of it? And would you use me to do something? And it was like a dream. It was like, you know, like breaking a world record. It was like, you know, a big deal. And then a few weeks or months later, after school one day, I was chatting to Flick on MSN Messenger. We didn't know each other very well at that point. Sat next to each other in history a couple of times. And she asked me, oh, what do you do on the weekend? And I said, oh, well, I was in church on Sunday. She said, oh, what church do you go to? And we got chatting. And what I didn't know was that Flick had been kind of researching about faith and God and life and asking those questions from months previously. And so I invited her on the Alpha course, and she came, and she just, you know, decided to give her life to Jesus and become a Christian. And then a few months later, they were doing another Alpha course, and so Flick invited all her friends, and I invited all my friends, and about 10 of us from school came, and that's where Beth became a Christian, who was leading the worship this morning. And for me, it was just like a dream come true that God would, like, do something in my life, and that some of my friends from my school would like become Christians and would know the goodness and the love that God has for their lives. And I just want to encourage all the youth here this morning, you know, that sometimes when you're in school, it is a challenge and you've got to stand up for your faith every day. And sometimes, you know, it feels like you're the only one. Sometimes, you know, there's that awkward moment where you've got to make a choice and you've got to, you know, stand up for something that you know is right or something that you don't want to get involved in or something that you do want to do. And you've got to make that choice. But I want to encourage you that it's worth it. It's worth it. And they're having a witness in your school and that there are friends in your school that God loves and that he will reveal his love for them through your life. So I want to encourage you to keep going and that you're a valued part of this church and we value you and you have our full support. I know we talk about it in youth all the time. We just want to encourage you to keep going, even when it seems difficult, that we're with you and we're praying for you and you have our support. And for all of us together as a church, you know, this is something for all of us, that God wants to do something with us. He wants to do something in our lives. Our lives have purpose and we can look forward with excitement about what God wants to do. And it's a bit like Paul, when he was reflecting on his life and the things that God had been doing in him and through his, you know, work. And he said this in a letter to the Philippian church. He said, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And Jesus is calling us to press on because he loves this city, he loves us as a church, and he has more for us. But what does it mean for us practically? What does it mean to go to the next level? If God's building us to a next level, what does that look like? Hopefully, it doesn't look something like this. But what does that mean? That's what we're going to look at next. What does it mean for a church to go to the next level? Well, I guess the first thing to look at is, who is the church? And the answer is that we are. I love Peter Kay, and I've quoted him many times. But another Peter Kay quote for you. In one of his stand-up, he's talking about, he's chatting to his nan about the weather. And I think it's been the summer, and it's been pouring down all summer. And his nan says to him, they want to do something about this. But in a Bolton accent, I can't do it. They want to do something about this. And he's like, they? Who are they? Government. He's like, what are the government going to do about the weather? But it's funny how often we love to put things on the they. They want to do something about this. But when it comes to the church, sometimes we can see the church as like a they or a them or an it or the church. But actually the church is us. Each one of us makes up the church. The church isn't a building. It's not a meeting. It's not an institution. It's us. It's the people of God. It's individuals who have chosen to follow Jesus. We make up the church. It's each one of us. And so when we have this calling to go to the next level, well, that's a call to each one of us. It's calling each one of us to grow in our individual lives, in practical day-to-day ways, in our relationship with God and living out our faith daily. How can we grow in that? And I was chatting with some people this week about, do you recognize in your own life where you've grown or where you feel like I've gone to the next level, to put it in that phrase? And people said, yeah, I can see things. I said, what does it mean for you? People said things like our confidence in what we share about our faith with our friends and the confidence to share more. Things like reading the Bible and learning how to do it and putting it into practice. Growing in our love and support for one another, in our attitude, in how we respond to people or challenges or difficult situations, in our choices. But like Adam said this morning about doing the right thing sometimes, maybe if you're playing tennis and, oh, is it out, is it in? I'm losing, maybe I'll call it in. No, I'm joking. In our gifts, in the talents and the gifts that God's given us, how can we grow in those? How can we bless others through them? And in Ephesians 4, Paul wrote this. He said to the church, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And you see how it's all of us together. It says, as each part does its own special work, all of us make up the church, and we all have a part to play, and each one of us is important. And we do it in partnership with Jesus. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit, his work within us, helps us to grow. But it's something to give our attention to give our focus to, and to partner with the Holy Spirit and say, yes, Lord, you know, how can I grow? How can I grow in my relationship with you this year, and give our focus to it. On the internship, we sometimes run a course called Developing Courageous Leadership from Willow Creek. And one of the exercises that they do is this guy in one of the first sessions gives this talk, and he says, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I want you to write down for each of the one, it's like not multiple choice, but he says, for each question I ask you, you've got to put more or less, or better or worse. And he asks about five questions, like, how do you think your relationships will be in this next year? Do you think they'll be better or worse? What about your relationship with your wife, your husband, or your partner? Do you think that will be better or worse? Do you think your prayer life in the coming year will be better or worse? Do you think your job will be, and he asks these questions, better or worse? And so, it's about five, you write them down, better or worse. And then you get, right, well, have a look at your answers. And he's like, I bet for all of them, you've got the positive, or at least for, four out of five. And it's true, I looked down, I remember the first time doing this, he goes, better, more, better, yes. And then he goes, great. Well, what are you basing that on? And I was like, oh yeah. How's that going to happen? And he challenged us in this course that what we do today shapes our tomorrow. And how often we look to the future and we like overestimate the future and we assume that everything in the future will be better. I'll grow in the future. My relationships will be better. My work, I'll be happier in my workplace. But he's like, actually, what we do today, right now, is what shapes that future. And so it's something for us to give our attention to. If we want to grow, it's to give our attention to, Lord, what can I grow in this year? And would you empower me and help me to do it? And Jesus leads us in it, because he has something great for us in store. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is about going to the next level. Like, what does it mean and why? Well, it's because Jesus is building the church for a purpose. And when Julian had this picture of the high-rise building, he could recognize that it was one of those like landmark buildings. It was a type of building to draw attention. You know, you see those, like the Shard or something, and it makes you think of, oh, that the architect must be, you know, that's very inventive. That's much better than my Lego tower that I used to build, straight up and down. It's very inventive. Or it draws your attention to a city or a place. It means something. And how the church is built to reveal Jesus. It's a landmark to who Jesus is. And one day, when Jesus was walking with his disciples, he turned to them and he said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah," or the King, "the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from a human being. And now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." And so we see that Jesus is the one who's building the church. He said, "I will build my church." And what's the foundation of the church? It says this word rock, and it's like a play on words with Peter. But the rock that Jesus is talking about is this revelation that Jesus is the King, that he's the Son of God. And the foundation of the church is built on who Jesus is and recognizing that Jesus is God's Son and that he's the King and that he has a plan for each one of us and a purpose. And so the church is built by Jesus. The purpose, the foundation is revealing who Jesus is. And the purpose of the church, the landmark of the church, is to reveal who Jesus is as well. I used to work in Marks and Spencer's Simply Food, the one down in Vorisbach, and I worked there one summer. And it was very exciting this particular summer because for the first time, they were introducing alternative products to Marks and Spencer's, to the store. And there was great excitement. There was a list of a handful of products that were going to make it. Marmite was on there. Kellogg's cereal, specifically Cocoa Pops, was making it in. Coca-Cola, Maltesers. I think those are the only ones I can remember. All the ones I used to buy. No, joking. There was an elite few things that they were going to accept into the store. But before then, before that moment in August 2010, which was very exciting for Marks and Spencer's employees, before that, the only thing that you would find in a Marks and Spencer's food store was Marks and Spencer's food. And you would see the store and you would walk in and all the staff are in their Marks and Spencer's uniform and all the food was made by M&S for M&S with the quality of Marks and Spencer's. Not just any food, this is Marks and Spencer's food. And on Thursday, we at the office, we were eating some leftover grapes from an event from the Alpha the day before. And these grapes were amazing. And we were all commenting like, "These are some of the best grapes I've ever tasted." And we realized that the source of the grapes were Marks and Spencer's. Unbelievable. Even the grapes are better than other grapes. I mean, how do they manage that? I don't know. How do they do that? But it just shows, you know, it was a signature. It was revealing who Marks and Spencer is. And it's similar with the church. The church is built by Jesus, by Jesus. The foundation is Jesus. And the purpose of it is to reveal Jesus. And Julian highlighted four things that we can do to reveal Jesus, four things that as a church reveal Jesus. And I'm going to quickly highlight them for us as we carry on. So the first one is telling. Four things we can do to reveal Jesus. Telling, sharing our faith so that people may know all about it every day. In Acts 1, Jesus said, "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, even to the ends of the earth." So we share stories. We invite people to church and to different events. Maybe we offer to pray for people and encourage people. I don't know if you saw Barack Obama and Bear Grylls over Christmas. Obama appeared on Bear Grylls' Running Wild show. And at the end, Bear Grylls offered to pray for him. I'll show you the clip. Is that all right? Have a look.
Come, Chris.
Thank you.
Can I pray for you before we go?
Absolutely.
One of the things I really wanted to do was to be able to say a little prayer with him, and it's always awkward doing that. But, you know, here's a man who really has the weight of the world on his shoulders, and everyone's always taking from him. And I just wanted, just for 10 seconds, just to be able to pray for him and for protection over the incredible stuff he's doing. Lord, I thank you for the presence, great strength of courage and character. Bless and protect his work and his family. Forgive us when we fall short and help us to be strong in you. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate you, man.
You're amazing.
Thank you. God bless.
Honestly, it's been such a privilege.
I had a wonderful.
Isn't that great, isn't it? And real courage as well. You know, he's with the president of the US and to offer to pray for him. But introducing Jesus to people in our everyday lives, in the workplace, in school, wherever we are, sharing our faith openly. Because God loves people and he cares for them. And he wants them to know about him. He wants them to know how much he loves them and cares for them. And then like Adam said earlier, we've got the Alpha course running at the moment. And it's a really great course. And I'd really encourage you to invite people along. And this week on Wednesday is like the first week proper, and we're going to be looking at who is Jesus, how do we know that Jesus is real, what did he say about himself, can we trust the evidence. It's a really great session, so do come along and invite people, and there'll be a few snacks, maybe from M&S as well if you're lucky, we'll see. And then the second thing that we can do that reveals Jesus is serving. I won't give a spoiler away, but these two help each other out in the Star Wars film. But when we love people, we want to help them, don't we? It's one of the five love languages, isn't it? Acts of service. And it shows that we care. And Jesus served. He gave his whole life. And he showed his love and how genuine it was by his actions. And we care for our community and for one another too. And that overflows into serving. And it's a high value of ours as a church to serve our community and to serve one another, because we really do care for each other and we really do love this city because God loves this city. And so that's why we run, you know, projects every day in our Penland building, and we got a whole load of volunteers who help with those, and we serve each other in the church, and we're all serving people in our own lives as well. And this reveals Jesus. And you remember in our Amaze series when we looked at how people were amazed at the teachings of Jesus. And it said, after Jesus had finished speaking, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught as one who had real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. And the teachers of the religious law, when they would teach, it was dictated and it was shaped by their self-interest. They would teach so that they would look important, so that they could maintain their position of, you know, power and status. They didn't really care necessarily for the people that they were teaching. But this was different with Jesus. He genuinely cared for people, and everything he said was to help people and was because he loved people. And so it gave his teaching authority. It gave his teaching authenticity because he genuinely did love them and want to help them. And it's the same for us. Our serving gives our message authenticity, and it shows that we really genuinely love and care for people, and Jesus does too. Theodore Roosevelt said, he was the US president during the First World War, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And our serving authenticates who Jesus is and that he loves people, and that's why it's so important to us. And the third thing is healing and miracles. One of the ways that Jesus served people was that he performed healing and miracles. And I mean, that's a great way of serving people. And Jesus was generous with it. He generously served people. And there was this one moment, Luke records, when 10 lepers called out to Jesus from a distance and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. Will you heal us? Have mercy. And Jesus told them to go and show yourselves to the priests. And it was the priests who would say if someone had been cured of leprosy. And as the 10 men went, they were all completely healed. And one of them ran back to Jesus and returned and said, praise God, I'm healed. And he fell down and thanked Jesus. And only one returned to thank Jesus, but Jesus healed all 10 of them anyway. And he was generous with his healing. And it revealed that he was real, that God was with him, and that he has power to change lives. And when God heals people today, it says the same thing. And many people here have been healed, and that's really helped them on their faith journey. And a lot of people here would say that that's the thing that made them realize that Jesus was real and got them, you know, started when they were healed of something and someone prayed for them. And the fourth thing is our unity, our relationship with one another. It's a nice picture from the men's weekend. Pluck that one out. And church is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Isn't it great to celebrate how amazing church is? That here we have people from all different walks of life, from all different backgrounds, different personalities, different likes, different dislikes. Some of us are more quirky than others. Some of us have some colloquialisms from Clatley. Some of us are maybe more well-spoken from other parts of the world. But we forgive each other, don't we, Adam? And when we wind each other up, no, we forgive each other, no. But, you know, we're united by our love for Jesus, and we genuinely care and support for one another, isn't it? And it's a brilliant thing to be a part of. I remember when I was at university, and I was chatting to one of my friends about the church I was in, and they said to me, wow, that's amazing. It must be brilliant to have a family like that when you're away from home. And it's true, and I thought that was a great description. And that is what church is like, and it reveals Jesus. When we are unified together and support one another, when we forgive one another, when we do life together, it shows what Jesus is like. And John, who was one of Jesus' closest friends, he, in one of his letters, he was describing all that God has done. And then he said, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And our life together reveals Jesus as well. And so for us as a church, these are things that we've all been doing. These are things that we do together. But now God's calling us to go to a higher level, to take them further again, because he wants to do more. And so we're going to do a series over the next month where we're going to look at these four things I just highlighted, and we're going to look at them in more detail and unpack and explore. How can we grow in these things as a church? How can we step forward in each of them? How can we develop break another world record together? Well, not literally, but how can we respond to what God is doing? And we're going to explore and look at it in detail and unpack it and get really practical and ask ourselves the question, God, what do you want to do in my life? And how can I play my part in what you're doing here in this church and in Swansea and in the nation and in the world? And so to conclude quickly, one thing that really spoke to me over Christmas was when Jesus turned to it says in Luke 14, that many of the crowds were following Jesus. And then Jesus turned to them and said, don't start until you've counted the cost. He said, don't begin until you count the cost. For who would build the construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might only complete the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh and say, there's a person who started the building but couldn't afford to finish. And I feel like God would want to encourage us today to count the cost, to get ready for what God wants to do. And to look into our own lives and say, yes, God, I want to step forward. I want to grow because you've got a purpose for my life. You've got a purpose for this church that I'm a part of. So would you help me to step forward? And it's a time for us to focus on Jesus, to put him first, to get ready, to pack our bags ready for what God wants to do. And there's a few things we can do. Focus on Jesus and put him first in our lives, to make room for him in our daily lives and what he wants to do, to allow him to speak into our lives and to highlight to us, Lord, how can I grow this year? What do you want to do in my life? And then to act on it. So should we pray together to kind of, I don't know, start from today? Yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love people so much and that you have a great purpose for us as a church together. That you're not finished with us, but there's more. I thank you that you want to do more because you're so generous. And Holy Spirit, would you come and fill each one of us now with your presence? And would you show us where you are taking us? I thank you that you invite each one of us to join in, that we all have a part to play. And Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? And would you show us this year, what can we do? And I thank you that we do it all with you, that it's by your power and your strength, and that you are with us, and that you call us to it because it's something we can achieve. And it's because you love to bless people. So Lord Jesus, would you go before us? I thank you that you are with us, and would you strengthen us ready for all the things that you want to do? In Jesus' name, amen.